On Mondays, we read from your emails. Michael Everett Patrick Gwynn of Tempe, Arizona, wrote in during our program on threatened languages to argue that the survival of the fittest model should not apply. Just because we now drive cars, we don't want to let all the horses die. Picasso's genius did not make Rembrandt's work unbeautiful. Preservation of languages is really preservation of cultures, he writes, and the unique ways that different cultures understand the world. Dolores Pasquale from Panama City, Florida, disagrees. Studying and trying to revive dying languages is only important or interesting from an academic point of view, she says. It does the world no good. We'd be better if eventually we had one language. We should do things which unify peoples, not divide. Inability to communicate divides peoples. We received this email from Andrew White during our show about where to house convicted sex offenders after they've served their sentences. He writes, "My grandfather is a convicted sex offender. In fact, he's a repeat offender. He is not allowed to be around any children without another adult present. I'm ashamed that this man is part of my family, but I obviously have some type of relation with him. This is a complicated issue that I've dealt with for 10 years. All I know is that I wouldn't want my own grandfather living next to me." During our conversation about health care insurance for college kids, graduate student Corey Anderson wrote in to highlight an additional problem. "From my experience, the most vulnerable time is not during college, but after graduation. Many 20-somethings have large temporal gaps in insurance coverage, especially dental, and especially if these individuals are furthering their education rather than going to work for a company or corporation immediately." And finally, the blackout. Many people lost perishable foods to the power outage. A listener named Jeff recommends we keep jugs of water in our freezers just in case. "If the power's out for an extended period of time," he writes, "these blocks of ice will keep your frozen food safe longer. A full freezer will stay colder longer, and if you need the space after a big Costco trip, you can pull the jugs of ice out until you have space again." Another listener, David Brugge, relayed this experience. "When a storm took away power to millions of users in Memphis 2 weeks ago, we had to face not having power for several weeks. I stood in line of 300 one night to buy a generator. I used it to get the computer going at my business so that I could get out payroll. I found myself sitting in front of my computer trying to read by candlelight. When I finished several hours' work, it dawned on me. I could have plugged in the desk lamp." If you have helpful hints, questions for a guest, comments, or a correction, we'd like to hear from you. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Please include the topic of the show in the subject line if you would. Tell us where you're writing from, and if necessary, give us a tip on how to pronounce your name. And we say a reluctant goodbye this week to producer Alicia Montgomery, who will be basking in the California sunshine and starting a new job at NPR West in Los Angeles. Sugarfoot and Crud Muffin, Alicia, we sure are going to miss you. Still here at NPR East are our producers Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, Justine Kennan, Megan Williams, and Susan Davis. Brendan Banizak is our production assistant. Joel Riddle is our intern. In the control room, Chad Campbell is our show director. Kevin Wade is the technical director. He gets engineering help from Vince Muse and Mitch Eaton. Ellen Silva is the senior editor of Talk of the Nation. Sue Goodwin is our senior producer. And the executive producer is Leith Bishop. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News. We'll be right back.